noises. Welcome to Super Garbage Day, a retro video game review show where an actual garbage man plays games 20 years or older that you, the listener, chooses. Every week, we randomly pick a game submitted by the community to play, to dissect, and then talk about. It's a wonderful excuse to play 20-year-old games in my spare time. I am your host, the Ross Boy, B Nature. Fate itself must have had a bad Monday, since the game we are covering this week is considered one of the worst of all time. But before we get into this, let's talk turkey about Super Garbage Day Incorporated. All first impression videos are now released with the episode in the show notes, so listeners can put a game's face to its name. A new backlog eternal poll for September is coming up as of this recording. So jump into the Discord, it's free, and vote. September's theme is Sega September. So all the games you can vote for that I have to beat, if chosen, I'm not going to beat all the games. Let me reword that. Whatever game wins the poll is a game that I have to play to completion until I can add another game to Backlog Eternal, which is a Patreon exclusive show. Our latest episode of the Patreon exclusive podcast, Retro Deep Cuts, is live. And in old school fashion, because we haven't done this in a while and I don't know why, here is a free sample for all those who don't even know it exists. And the episode's title was Last Meal Video Games. And the runner-up for a game I would pick as my last meal game is Vandal Hearts on the PS1. People are probably not very aware of this, but I am an enormous stan for Vandal Hearts. It was one of the first strategy games I've ever played, and I've never beat it, and I've always wanted to. It ramps up in difficulty. It's a very linear strategy, almost like imagine Final Fantasy Tactics. I mean, I think they were direct competitors. So it's a game like that, except it's like got a very linear storyline where you're just being shown the story and then you're competing or you're battling on your little board level, you know what it is. But it's great. It's fucking awesome. So that's my runner-up for RPG I'd played for last time. Now that we got that all out of the way, it's time for the retro questions of the week. All right, now we're doing multiple questions because we have multiple entries in our Discord. So we're going to start with MK Keith's question. We all know that Mortal Kombat, every character has their specific powers. And then he gives examples like we've never played Mortal Kombat before. But if you haven't, Sub-Zero has ice, Liu Kang has really good martial arts, blah, blah, blah. What specific power would you have to survive the Mortal Kombat tournament to protect Earthrealm? So I'm assuming that we get to choose from the roster of the Mortal Kombat universe. Originally, I made the joke of I would take Striker because he has the power of gun. And then another joking answer I had was Goro so that I could have four guns. But my honest to God answer would be Shang Tsung, because you can have anybody's power. But not because I can just take anybody else's power from Mortal Kombat. Outside of my combat career, I can go and be in like every movie or just go party with like rich people or, you know, one day I want to go play. I mean, what's funny is imagine this. I'm like, yeah, I want to play for the Miami Dolphins this week. So I just like transform into the running back, but I just suck butt at like running back. They're like, we've never seen a performance this terrible in our lives from this player. I wonder what's wrong with him. He must have lupus. So that's my example of that. Thank you for the question. This next question comes from Van Fernal himself, and he asks, what is a game you should love on paper, but you just couldn't get into? Like, it ticks off every box of what you think would make a great game, and yet it just didn't do it for you. Well, some of our community had some answers. Banjo Kaczynski answers, I feel the same way about Hollow Knight. I don't get why. MQ Keith adds Bloodborne. I played the shit out of that game, and everything from its atmosphere, monster design, and exploration is everything I'd want. But when I walked away from it, I felt incredibly meh on it. In which Van Fernal replied, Bloodborne is my favorite game of all time. So, I'm going to have to agree here with Banjo-Kaczynski. My answer is Hollow Knight. And I know this might be controversial, but I heard everything in the world good about Hollow Knight. And I thought recently that I didn't play it. It was one of those games I just heard about, and I'm like, I should try that out. And then I was looking at screenshots, and I'm like, I did play this. I played this when this came out because of the hype train. I invested a couple hours into it. And even though I'm a big fan of the Metroidvania and its theming, it didn't grip me. By no means is it a bad game, but I guess it's just a game I never went back to. So there's my answer, Hollow Knight. Everybody's gonna hate me. Thanks, please don't unsubscribe. I love you, bye. Woo! All right, ladies and gentlemen and other things in the world, it is that time for us to discuss this week's game. Oh no. Which is Bubsy 3D on the PlayStation Entertainment System. I don't know, man.
Yeah!
Bubsy 3D, also known as Bubsy 3D, Forbidden Planet. Or Bubsy is 3D and Forbidden Planet. Come on, man. Is a platform game developed by Eidetic and published by Accolade. It is the first 3D game in the Bubsy series and the fourth game in the series overall. The game was released for the PlayStation on November 25th, 1996, unfortunately, in North America. Later European release in August of 1997. That is like a whole year later. Crazy. Bubsy 3D follows the series' titular character, an orange bobcat named Bubsy, who has a giant exclamation point on their chest, who travels to the planet Rayon to stop the alien Woolies and return safely to Earth. Man, we got a lot to talk about here. But before we get into it, I just want to bring up that last week, our special guest, Seeky Wisdom from the community, he spun the wheel because if you come on the show and get to be a special guest and do an episode where you bring a game to the plate, I just made it a rule. You get to spin the wheel of retro. And it landed on Bubsy 3D. So I feel like he was obligated, or he felt obligated. I don't feel like he's obligated. He didn't have to do anything. But he played the game, and here was his like early review. So, so far, I'm enjoying the game, mostly because I expected Atari's E.T. And instead, I see an early 3D platformer that is actually helping to define the genre. The camera controls are rough, limited to D-pad only, without the ability to look up and down. The game does its best to compensate for this by slightly shifting the angles to view up or down as you do platform in full 3D. I do enjoy that Bubsy catches the edges of platform, and that is a saving grace. I also think it's cool the items you collect. Think coins in Mario or rings in Sonic. They can be used as weapons when you encounter them, and sometimes catch a special pack of coins to use more like a traditional projectile weapon that you lose upon death. Speaking of death, dying is fun and not unfair. You get like 4 hit points per life, and if you're an explorer, there are tons of extra lives in each level. This game is basically Toe Jam and Earl in objective. Get your 2 ship pieces per level and get the f*** out. So after tutorial level and officially first level, I got 4 pieces already. The only downside is that there are like 25 levels. So it will take a brand new player blind several hours to find everything. But I thought I soft locked myself at the end of the real level 1. And turns out I was dumb and forgot I had some floating ability, which I needed to get high enough to exit the level. But that full playthrough was only 2 hours long, so an experienced player can easily knock this game out. Music is okay, not particularly amazing, but not super annoying. Voices are bordering annoying, but also funny, and if you hate them, you can disable them in the options menu. Graphics are good for an early PlayStation game. My mom even happened to pass by as I was playing and thought they looked great for 1996. Anyway, not enough playtime under my belt for a full review. Just my first impression since I promised I'd suffer with you on this one. I'll still be playing this one until I get fed up. Best it. Or your review convinces me not to waste my time. Oh yeah! I love the built-in screensaver, and the music doesn't miss a beat, which helps with immersion. Finally, the enemy hitboxes are jank, especially when you try to Mario hop on their heads. But thankfully, you don't die in a single hit. Alright guys, I'll see you next week.
Thank you for watching with my dad.
Okay, let's get into first impressions. Game looks ridiculous. It has this cutscene that's actually not that bad. It looks pretty well done. I think this is a part of the game that shines. It's just doesn't make any sense. Apparently, Bubsy's crash landed on this Woolly's planet, and their whole entire, like, their version of a Pentagon is like, hey, we need to get rid of this Bobcat. And so I was kind of getting the vibes after watching that. Also, I can't understand what they were saying because they're like mumbly and weird, and the audio compression is weird for a CD-based game. But I was under the impression that you're like the enemy here. Like you're in their land. And you're like trying to kill them, and nobody's working together here. But you know, outside of that, you jump into the game. I might be going a little too far here, but the main screen has like first player, second player options. What is second player, by the way? This game is a two-player game. I'll explain why later how that doesn't make any sense to me, but you jump into the game and you're greeted with you're like, is this the training level? This looks like a VR level in like a Metal Gear Solid game or something. And it's not. This is the game. You're immediately greeted with some of the slowest and sluggish tank controls and graphics that look like they forgot to load in the textures on the items. Also with really mumbled, annoying voices and music that sounds like it's like your local circus came to town and all the musicians are drunk. I don't know, man. Let's just go into gameplay. As I stated before, it is a tank-based control, but it is also a 3D platformer, and I am aware that this was one of the first 3D platformers, and I am also aware that this company was attempting to create the first 3D platformer, so they didn't have much of a reference level to base it off of, except for Jumping Flash, which is a game I adore and I owned, and I feel like Jumping Flash, even though it has equally as janky controllers and weird graphics, leaned into its theming to make all that work. And for me, that's great. Hasn't aged well, but still placing my heart for Jumping Flash. This game, however, is on the surface appearing to be like a massive platformer. But tank controls, if you're not aware, is left and right makes you rotate the camera left and right with your character, and up and down moves you forward and back. That's unacceptable for a game that requires an immense amount of platforming, which this game is like 90% platforming. On top of that, you have many collectibles. You have atoms that you just collect 100 or a certain amount and you get a bonus stage. You can also use these as projectiles, I found out later. Projectiles that can bounce back and hurt you, which is a terrible programming in my opinion. There's 18 levels. You're expected to go through these levels and collect lives and atoms and pieces of your ship that's wrecked that lead you to one of two endings at the end. God forbid you make it that far. Like I said, the primary focus of this game is jumping on squares. I'm not even kidding. Squares. Floating squares of varying colors. The colors reflect the themes and environments of the backgrounds the best they could. You are given 4 hits per life. Unlimited continues, but it's really just a test of patience the entire time. There are boss fights which are interesting. The first boss fight doesn't make sense. The background's like a jumbled mess of math equations and Everything is just like that describes it best. It's a jumble. It's a mixture of like, it's like, what is this? What is any of this? And as everything before, you've got to jump on top to damage or see, the thing is too, is that the hitbox is, the hit detection is god awful. So you can jump Mario style on a lot of the enemies that are just the standard enemies. But if you miss by a cubic centimeter, you will take damage. And when you take damage, the camera, which is not your friend, generally stays behind you unless two things happens in this game. One being anytime you jump, it goes directly above you so you can see where you're landing, which I'm assuming A, they took credit from, not credit, but they took inspiration from Jumping Flash, and B is because there are no textures or shadows to indicate depth perception correctly in the game. So without them making the jump mechanic that, I believe it was unplayable from the get-go. I should have said from the jump. That would have been a perfect time. Secondly, falling in this game is bizarre, and you will do a lot of falling. Luckily, no fall damage affects you. However, if you are over something like water or acid or lava, if you just don't hit the landing correct, or you move a little too much off, like for instance, imagine two platforms where one is slightly lower than the other and it's just a little bit out, where in most games that are 3D platformers, you can just straight up walk across off one, fall to the other. Not in this game. It plays a weird animation where I almost said Gex. How weird. Oh my God. I'm getting Gex flashbacks from Backlog Eternal, which is a Patreon only exclusive series where I have to beat games. Anyways, I hated that game as well. And I'm getting a lot of same vibes here, but he does this animation where he just waves goodbye and falls to his death. And you don't just fall down. You can recorrect or whatever, or you fall and take damage and like jump around like Mario and he touches fire or any of that. No. You just lose a life, or you lose a part of your life. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Some of the places are so confusing that the game kind of walks like waltzes with your holding your hand. I don't know why I say waltzes. I guess it's because of Infernal, but you know, treat you like a kindergartner. It's like, here's giant arrows of where you're supposed to go. But there's no, the game is so defunct of texture. You kind of could figure it out early on where to go, but eventually, even with the arrows, you don't know where to go. And sometimes you have to jump completely over walls that aren't even walls. They're just like the same block textures stacked on one another, turned sideways. It feels like you're no clipping sometimes. And ideally, that's just the premise of the gameplay. You're just collecting crap. You're trying to jump with some of the most god-awful controls known to mankind, and you're just trying to beat some bosses, collect those ship parts, and get the fuck off Woolleysville, Alabama. I don't know. It's bad. It's really bad, guys. There are other levels, like swimming levels, where I felt the mechanics for the tank mechanics worked really well. For some reason, I was fucking surprised. An underwater level is the best part of a game is a bad, bad omen. But after that, though, I did find myself using that philosophy where, like, I'm going to start thinking of Bubsy as a vehicle instead of a character. And then when I started doing that, I noticed I was able to navigate through the game better. I was like, I just treated him like he was a submarine or like literally a tank. And it did help, even though it's so slow to get through the levels. And it sometimes you can get all the way to the top of platforming, jumping across 35 plus squares and make one little misstep, and you got to start all the way over from the beginning of the platform. And I'm like, just eat my ass. I hate you so much. Let's talk about graphics and audio. So the game has kind of a high resolution, clean look to it, but it has zero textures. When you look at this game, it looks like a beta version of a game. Like they're showing it to the director of the publisher and being like, well, here's what it's going to be like. We're going to add all the textures later and other things to the levels to give it more life. But yeah, here it is. But no, everything is like an untextured colored square, and other levels that are supposed to be like icy mountains or like forest areas, they just change the color of the square to blue or green. I mean, there are some things in it, some sky elements, skybox elements. And I mean, It does have a little bit of theming throughout it, but it's very, I don't want to say it's lazy. I just think that they just weren't prepared to make this game. And this was a company that was going into this uncharted wilderness of 3D platforming. So I can't be mad at them. They've tried their best. And I did a little dive on this company, and it's a really interesting rabbit hole to go down and see where they ended up and actually how close they are to where I live. But yeah, the graphics are, Bubsy looks okay. The enemies just look like whatever. They're just, they're not lively. And when they're close to you, you get this kind of like, this diegetic, like you can hear that you're near an enemy with this weird drumming thing, sound percussion. It is what it is. I mean, it's not the worst thing, but it's not the best thing. I'm not sure if that was necessary. The enemy variety is just these woolies, and then these like invisible snakes, and then like these whirlwind things that appear out of nowhere. And then there's like underwater, like dogfish and things like that for those certain levels. I mean, it's just the boss fights are they suck. They just suck. And I don't think they were necessary. The whole game isn't necessary. The whole game is not finished, is the problem here. I feel like they would have gave this game a whole year after Mario 64 came out, and we would have had a different situation on our hands. But that's not the case. Matter of fact, I read about a funny story where they were showcasing this game at a convention of some sort, something kind of like an E3 type thing. Also at that same convention, Nintendo showed off the first video of Mario 64. And I was just thinking to myself how bad this company must have felt seeing that and being like, oh no. But they were just in over their head, and they didn't know they were in over their head. They thought they were making something new. As far as the sound's concerned, the music is very Bubsy-esque. If you have played the past Bubsies, you know, it's got a weird circusy theme thing going on. The sound effects, I feel like are a little bit reused from the Super Nintendo Genesis versions. It's always been this odd, like local circus vibe that I just, the only way I can describe it, like, you know, like a circus music, but it's like your local circus where all the musicians are drunk, but they're, you know, they're playing the song, and that's the vibe I get from the music itself. There's not much to write home about really in regards to the graphics. I do like the splash screens in between the levels and how they're themed after like pop references and of the time period. Gex did this as well. Those screens look fine. They're not really funny. I mean, Mortal Bobcat's kind of funny. That boss fight sucks, by the way. It's, you're confused as hell is what you're supposed to do. It's, you don't realize that you're supposed to lead this bull into the wall, but you think the whole time you're actually hurting him by jumping on him because the animations make you think that. And speaking with graphics and animations, why does everything in this game seem like it's running at 5.5 frames per second? It's a weird, janky amount of movement that bugs the crap out of me. I don't get it. Like, Bubsy, it runs at a faster frame rate than the enemies. Or maybe I'm just staring too much at the back of Bubsy's head, and I'm just drunk with shittiness. But, or should I say visuals and bad game design. But I don't think it was bad game design. Like I said, this is like telling somebody who's never worked in a restaurant, like taking somebody who's good at hockey and being like, all right, today you're going to be the head chef of this Italian restaurant, and we'll give you like 2 weeks to figure out how to cook stuff. That's kind of what would happen here. This is what Bubsy 3D became. This company was a small company. A little backstory here. They ended up, I want to say their name is like Eidetic or whatever. They made this game. It was a huge failure, even though some of the box art lies and says that it was like a gold and some got the gold necks. And I'm like, what? No. In 96, when games like Crash Bandicoot and Mario 64 came out, nay, I say to thee, magazine that has X's that are just giving them out gold, give me a gold X. I am a great pooper. Okay. That's TMI. Anyways. God, I fell off the rails here. So this company, pretty much hanging their head in defeat, was still sanctioned to create another new IP. And that new IP became, believe it or not, Siphon Filter. Now, I actually like the first Siphon Filter. Yet again, another game just like Jumping Flash, not aged well. But I did realize that Siphon Filter uses the Bubsy 3D engine. And they just like kind of cleaned it up. So Siphon Filter is kind of the idea of what happened if you gave the team enough time to really create something beautiful. I don't know why I said beautiful, but just something that isn't Bubsy 3D. It was successful critically. And so they created three more of those. They ended up getting purchased by Sony. And long story, and they make a couple of, what are those games? I've never played them. They're those really popular Indiana Jones-esque games on the, I can't believe I can't think of the name of this, but it's like Drake is the dude. It's on PlayStation. Anyways, I know you guys are screaming at me right now being like, oh my God, it's blah, blah, blah. But I've never played one of those games, so I don't know. Anyways, this company went on to become Bend Studios, which is based in Bend, Oregon, which is approximately 2 hours, 2.5 hours east of where I live. So I looked more into this company and the developers, and I realized that they attended the University of Oregon for design, and that is the city I live in. So Bubsy 3D, in a weird twist of fate, kind of was birthed here where I live in this city. Anyways, Days Gone is awesome. I know it's one of those games that some people hate, some people love. I had a good time with it. It blows my mind that Days Gone came from Bubsy 3D. That is an evolution I can never believe. It's like I almost want to see one of those evolution charts where it shows like the monkey that turns into the man, or even the amoeba that turns into the man, but it's just like Bubsy 3D dude from, what's his name, Logan from Siphon Filter, and then like Days Gone guy or Drake, or I don't know, man, what the hell is the name of that game? It's gonna drive me nuts. Anyhoot, let's move on to verdicts. How do I really feel after investing about 6 hours? I was done after 6 hours, guys. I was done. So Bubsy 3D is one of the worst games I've ever played in my life. It's not surprising. I'm not trying to be like everybody else who said that. This isn't clickbait. These games are chosen randomly. Seeky Wisdom decided to pull the lever and hand me a dog shit sandwich from the gods. Not his fault, but as you heard from his glowing review, he's a little bit of a bigger fan of this game than I am. I see how this game is just a clinic in mistakes made by a developer and how not to rush something. What they had there initially was going to be groundbreaking, but they still needed a couple years. And I'm happy that at least they were given their comeuppance with Siphon Filter and eventually were able to move on to things like Days Gone. So ultimately, Bubsy as a game is one of the absolute worst games I've ever played. I don't know if it's the worst game we've played on the show. Our awards at the end of the year that I'm announcing now, the Trashies, which will be taking place in the last week of December. We're going to have a whole award show where we congratulate the best, the worst. This is going to be in the category with Gex and, well, by the way, specifically Gex 3, Deep Cover Gecko on the N64. Iron and Blood, this, and probably a handful of other games. It's a piece of crap. If I could give it a lower rating, I would. It's not even worth playing to see how funny it's so bad that it's not even good bad. And I don't care. It's a huge F. That's all I could give it, is an F. It's an F. I don't want to say F minus because that's just silly and immature. And as you guys know, I am a very mature person. So don't play it. Whatever. Let's spin that wheel and see what the hell else is coming up. Okay, so our game next week is yet another PlayStation 1 game. Man, we are on a freaking roll here. I'm not sure if it'd be a good roll, but this is a side-scrolling adventure game with heavy narrative. A game that shares the same title of a novel, even though they have nothing in common. a game I think that spanned more than one discs, and a game that was submitted by, I believe, Vanfernal in our Patreon pool. And that game is Heart of Darkness. Join us next week as we play Heart of Darkness and review it here on Super Garbage Day. If you want to find and listen to our Patreon exclusive bonus episodes, there's over 25 of them now. You can go to patreon.com/supergarbageday, all one word, and subscribe for only $2. You can get access to all of that bonus content. And we've been releasing a lot of it lately. A lot of cool stuff. Retro Deep Cuts is a jump into like top tens and just talking about things that are other, and aren't really reviews, but just like discussions on games and retro games and top tens, things of that nature. Backlog Eternal is a game where every month I pick a category and everybody in the Discord votes, and then I have to beat the game and then review it. If it takes me forever, it takes me forever. Speaking of that, the last game chosen for Backlog Eternal was Tecmo's Deception, which I am close to beating, and I'm going to give you a little spoiler alert here. I kind of dig it, so check all that out. Everything I stated is in the show notes. Please join the Discord. It's awesome. Everybody in our Discord is amazing, and I can say with my heart has become a dear friend, and I'm glad they're there, and I'm glad they keep it active, and I love all of you. Also, if you enjoy the show, please consider leaving us a review. It helps us a lot. We're just trying to get this little show out there in the world, and look forward to more guest spots. I think I'm going to do some guest spots with Keith on Main Quest. So check out Main Quest podcast. Check out Van Fernal's retro stream on YouTube. Check out Glitches Get Stitches. Check out New Game Plus. Check out Remember the Game. Check out all this stuff, because that is my rotation when I'm at work lifting trash cans, dumping stuff. Without any of that, I'd be bored out of my mind, and I'd probably be playing Bubsy 3D in my head. So other than that, I love you. I'll see you later. Cut to my daughter B.
Thank you for watching with my dad. I just want to say, everybody, guys, bye.